I'm so glad to welcome all of you to Christ's blessing on this very, very special Memorial Day of his entry into Jerusalem before all of the trials, tribulations, tests, and surrenders that occurred in the week prior to crucifixion and resurrection. We call it the Holy Week because in many ways it encapsulates the whole of his life, and it represents the fulfillment of his life coming together in a sequence of world-changing events, holy decisions, and revelations of character of those surrounding him, and revelations that he had never yet given even to the apostles. And so we enter this week with reverence that it may be the springtime of our life, the springtime of our revelations, our enlightenment, that we will see new things, hear new things, and believe in new ways as we have never been able to believe or understand before. And it's my joy and privilege to bring some of these thoughts to you today as we celebrate this very special day. And I have asked our blessing givers to extend a warm connection around the world to we have blessing givers in so many countries. I believe at last count it's 14 countries that we have blessing givers in, and I ask them to represent us around the globe today so that we may hold the Christ energy in a very strong connection. And I do want to talk about connection today. I think that's a very, very important subject for us right now, because this is the week starting today when Yeshua made a firm, unyielding connection with his destiny and with his reason for being here on this earth. It didn't change who he was. Who he was indelible and had been present with those who knew him and learned from him and loved him and followed him. But the connection with his destiny happened when he was offered a beautiful white horse to enter into the city of Jerusalem. But he chose a donkey. Now, in many ways, that's symbolic. The donkey was actually not an image of poverty, because in those days, if you could have, if at least if you were Jewish and you could afford to ride a donkey, that meant you didn't have to eat the donkey. So the donkey in many ways was the Cadillac of the day, but it was not something a Roman would ride. He came there to fulfill the destiny to his people. And also it signifies something else very, very important, and that is that In the story of his birth, his mother approached the city of his birth on a donkey. So he entered his destiny into this life, being carried by his mother on a donkey. He left, he consummated his destiny to this earth, entering the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. And that parenthetical or parentheses of symbolic gestures denotes a lot of the meaning in this week that I want to bring to your attention or call to your attention about what happened and what this week really signifies for us. We've heard the stories many times, and to tell the story again would be redundant to what you already know and just be a recitation of why we celebrate. But I'd like to go into some of the deeper meanings about this day and what it can hold for us. But as we wait for everyone to arrive and we get our thoughts together, if there's anyone who wants to come on board and wish others a happy Easter, happy Holy Week, I'm here for you, and we can take a call or two. once I get into my message, we probably will not take calls. So don't be shy about coming on soon. Okay, we have someone from area code 970. You're on. Hello, you may have to mute your own, unmute your phone.
You got it. I was muted.
Okay.
This is Cynthia from Colorado.
Hi, and Cynthia.
Hi. I have something that's been coming to me all day that when I got on the call today was to ask about a symbol that has been used as far as the symbol of like a fish and like the symbol of eight and in the fish. And I've asked people what that stands for. I've never really heard what really symbolizes, and they always say, well, it represents Jesus Christ. And I can understand, you know, that how he multiplied the fish and about the abundance and everything. Can you speak to that? And I think that really kind of might go along.
Well, you know, I don't think we have the whole story on that.
Yeah.
I think that that is a meaning that was implanted to be fully revealed as we grow in our understanding. But it wasn't just multiplying the fishes. Remember, the fisherman that he called could not catch fish at all. And he pulled, they said, oh, go away. There aren't any fish in the water today. And he took them out. He cast the net and he drew up so many fish. They were stunned. They were startled. He pulled up hundreds and hundreds of fish. And then he called them and he says, come with me. I will teach you to be fishermen of men. Okay? Now, he also called, when he calmed the storm, it was at sea. When he walked on water, it was at sea. So the ocean, or the Sea of Galilee, more exactly and appropriately, but large, large bodies of seawater were significant to him. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. One is that the ocean was man's closest connection with the infinite. And also with the whole elemental force of nature that was larger than they were. It was his way of teaching them about the natural laws of infinity, poor man's quantum physics, if you will. And now it is significant that the symbol of the fish, if you abstract it down to its basic configurations, really does begin to take on the figure eight symbol, which we have used for a very long time as the symbol of infinity. And so I don't think there's an accident there that he implanted in our thoughts the idea that of that symbol. But also, he would talk about people as cohering like schools of fish. And so when we are in the infinite, if we swim together coherently, we move as one. And so it was a symbol for him of whole schools or bodies of fish moving in harmony as one. To lose our personality. In those days, the fish was probably the closest life form, other than plant life, to the abandonment of ego. Just observing the way that the fish swam together, one would move right and they would all move right, one would move left and they would all move left. Like he said to me, I only had to love one fish, and I had loved them all. And so it was an illustration of how when we abandon the prison of our ego, we begin to take on the blessings as well as the compassion that we can share and benefit from by the whole of humanity and all of nature. So the fish was a very potent symbol of, I would say, many, many of his teachings. So many of them went back to the fish. And we see even more illustrations of the fish in the apocryphal gospels, which show how often he used that. And we have no idea how many times he used it, but it did survive as a symbol of probably his highest teaching.
Well, I know why I was asked to ask that question. So, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And let's see, we have a caller from 713, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Kathy calling from Houston.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
I'm calling not with a question, but I have a prayer request, please.
Okay.
This request is for a young man, a 16-year-old young man, who's been struggling all of his life with various forms of, I guess, mental and emotional types of problems. Since he was in kindergarten, I've known him for a long time. He's been having problems with other children, and he's more recently, since his teen years, having more trouble. His name is David. He's been in hospitals. And
Kathy, we were not getting a good connection from you.
I'm sorry.
Now that's much better.
Okay, I'm talking about David. A 16-year-old young man who's very much in need of some prayer help right now. I'm asking for him to be put on people's prayer lists. I've known him since he was in kindergarten, and he's had lots of emotional and mental kinds of problems, and his parents are so loving and working so hard with him. He's hospitalized again right now, and the doctors, they've got some good doctors. They're praying, too.
Good.
But they just to try to help them find some right paths and right medications or whatever it is he needs. So, and for him,
certainly hold him in our prayers. That allopathic medicine will work, and also that miracles will work. Sometimes we do not know exactly what will restore wholeness, but we are grateful for every avenue of help that comes our way.
True.
So, thank you for letting us know about David. We will most definitely hold him in our prayers.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have two more callers. We're going to take those calls. Well, actually, we have three now. One from, I think it's out of the country, but it's area code 140. Are you muted? The last four digits are 7392. Well, you're on, but you may be muted. We can't hear you. Okay, then I will take a call from, while you're trying to get on, I will take a call from Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hello. Yeah, this is Eva.
Yes, Eva. Hi.
I was thinking when talking about the fish in that question and about Jesus, I was remembering that he said, put your net on the right side of the boat. They did that, and then the fish came in. And I think a lot about what churches do today, because I am involved in a regular denominational church at the present time. And people are very upset sometimes about people not coming into churches and think that just things are going to the dogs and people don't care and all that. But I always think that there's another way. And it just occurred to me when you were talking about that it's the right side of the boat that we need to get on, and then we will multiply the fish. And, of course, I think that goes along with what you were saying about being in the school of fish and the oneness, which I also think a lot about in relation to Christmas and getting into that oneness. So I just was going to pass that along.
That's good. That's good thought, Eva. Happy Holy Week.
Thank you. And thank you.
And to all of you, and to Charlie. I hope Charlie's doing well.
Well, he's doing well, except for his eyes are now deteriorating. But in spite of it, he's doing well under the conditions. And also is still believing that things can change. And
absolutely.
As you know, Jesus healed the blind, and I still believe in that. And so we're just seeing what will happen in the future.
Absolutely. Our prayers are with you and with Charlie.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So did we ever make a connection with this caller? It's a +140 494 17392. You will have to unmute your telephone as well. You are unmuted on our line, but if you don't come through soon, I'll just go ahead and mute your call because we don't want to interfere with the quality of other callers. So we have a call from Desmond. Hello, Desmond. How are you?
Good, Glenda. How are you?
I'm fine. Doing wonderful this day.
Yeah, of course. I went to Mass, and it was really cool to have a procession and everything. But I called specifically, and I want to say thank you for sharing that story about the donkey. I mean, I love your story. You're such a great storyteller. That's why you connected with Yeshua. Yeshua is such a great pinnacle of ending stories, and you're a great storyteller.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you like that. I'm not finished,
yeah,
though. There's more to come.
I know. I can't wait. I just wanted to say to Kathy is that I'm really helping what I can with mental health, and I'm a really good mental health advocate, and I really believe that raw food is definitely a way to restore health. I just went to the hospital myself, like, not too long ago, like a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just got out, and I really pray for Kathy's friends there, and I wish them the very best. And I just wanted to say that thank you for sharing that mental health story, because I really love people who struggle with mental health, and I wanted you to know that, Kathy, and I really wish you the best, and I wish myself the best, too, and everyone who deals with mental health, of course.
Oh, thank you, Desmond, and we keep you in our prayers always. We so appreciate your courage and your integrity and the degree of dedication you have toward healing and wholeness and doing it from the right side of the boat.
Thank you so much,
and
I love you.
You did make a comment that I would like to build on with regard to health. Sometimes we don't know exactly what we do that will have the most positive result or repercussion in the world. But one thing I have noticed about physical health is that a healthy metabolism will assist any illness, even down to healing broken bones, or a rash, or anything. A healthy metabolism will actually help you with maintaining the weight that you want to maintain, the energy level you have that you want, proper sleep, your immune system. And one of the things that slowly deteriorates as we move through life, but unfortunately for some people, like David, it appears early in life, and that is a challenged metabolism. And so anything that a person can learn about correct balancing of their metabolism is a very, very good thing to do because it can prevent future illnesses that are linked into an improperly balanced metabolism. And also a properly balanced metabolism helps to assist with a clear mind, good memory, sound sleep, quick healing. You just don't get quite the upset stomach that you would have over rich foods. In fact, you don't even crave the wrong foods when you have a truly healthy metabolism. And I think it's a subject that we could all universally benefit from, because also when there is less stress in our body, when our body can maintain its balance, eliminate its toxins, digest the food, and do its daily work properly with the least amount of effort and stress, then it gives us more time for the things we enjoy as luxuries, such as just sitting on the front porch watching the hummingbirds, or having more time for prayer and meditation, or to play with the kids or the grandkids, or to enjoy your favorite sport or your favorite hobby, or read a book. I think it's so important for all of us to have this little element of discretionary time every day where you can exercise your free will about what you want to do. It's okay if your free will says, I want to go to a movie, or I want to listen to hard rock music. As long as it's constructive, it doesn't really matter what you choose. What matters is that you did choose, and you knew you chose, and you exercised the freedom of your will. And we create the luxury to have that, those moments of choice when we get the basic, it's kind of like getting our automobile tuned up. When you keep it tuned up and you keep the oil changed and you keep it running smoothly and the tires are rotated, you don't have to worry about major repairs as often. And it's so nice just to get in the car and know that it's safe to drive it. Well, that's just a metaphor for how you do life. And I include prayer and meditation time every day in maintaining the health of my life. So I use whatever knowledge I have about correct dietary and physical maintenance of my body, keep the metabolism working. I spend time in prayer and meditation. And the wheels turn so in such a lovely manner that I have the time to do the things that I really, really enjoy. And for me right now, it's enjoying the springtime and the coming of verdant life and nature and passing under trees and seeing little bird shells broken, which tells me little birdies have just been born and they're up in their nest, and see the butterflies migrate in, and just the time for all of these precious things about springtime, or having the time to create new blends of beautiful essential oils. And a new webinar, which I've sent out the announcement. Please check in your inbox. You'll want to know about this, because so many things in life don't work. There have been so many misrepresentations about facts and ideas and thoughts. I think it's time we just touched back upon the things that really, really work to get our centering, to drop the plumb line. You know what a plumb line is? Well, it was what old-time carpenters used to use to get the straight line for a house. And that's because if you dangle a rock or a brick on a string, it will fall straight down to the earth. That's the power of gravity. And they knew that that was a true line. Then if you set a perpendicular to that, you knew exactly where to put the beams of the house. So it's really, really important that we touch back upon the things that we know are true. And I just wanted to mention something that we'll go deeper into the course when we get into it. It's about the power of truth. You know, we think so often that optimism is greater than truth. But let me tell you something. False optimism is as false as a map turned upside down. There is no data, no feeling, no orientation that is of value without truth in it. And yes, you know me from the past. I'm a very optimistic person. But I stay optimistic because I do a reality check on my optimism, and I take a look at, okay, is this well-founded optimism? Is this something I really, really can put my faith in? And once I put my faith in it, then I stand by it. I'm there, and I'm strong as a rock. And I think this is why Yeshua gave Simon, the fisherman, the name Peter, because it means rock. Peter was one of these people that always double-checked everything. Not exactly to the point of doubt, but Peter had to know. I mean, today we would say Peter was from Missouri. He had to know, and once he knew, he was stubborn as a mule. And Yeshua called him the rock. He knew, upon this rock, I can build my church. And that was the kind of grounded optimism that Yeshua had. We've been in, you know, I think so often we fly off with optimism that can't be founded because there's so many realities in the world we just really, really don't like. We're angry with them. We know they don't work. They know that they're actually false realities. They've just been presented to us with a lot of force and a lot of enforcement and a lot of conviction and a lot of bullying and even lies that were presented with a lot of false conviction. And we look at them and we say, that's a bunch of you-know-what. And we fly off and we think, well, I'm just going to create this fairyland. I'm just going to go create this false. We don't even know it's false. We don't say it's false because we've actually come to the conclusion that if it's good, it's true. Well, it's not always. Just because it's good doesn't mean that it can work right now. It might work someday. It might work in and under some conditions. But remember Peter. Remember that Peter double-checked. If there had been a Snoops, it's where you go to check the facts on these emails. I never did know how that was pronounced. But anyway, if there was one in those days, Peter would have checked it. He would have looked at, well, is this a viable thing? Can we do this? Okay. He would double check the boat before taking it out on the water. Not because he was a doubter, but because he wanted to know that our faith was put into something we can believe. Now, this actually is very relevant for what I'm going to talk about on this day launching Holy Week. But I should finish my other thought first, and that is that our newest course is about 12 laws of the universe that always work. When you know these, you can double-check everything in your life. You know what's going on, and you can make viable, important, reliable choices on which you can then base your faith. You can move forward with conviction and know that whatever happens, you're operating and working within the will of God. Now, Yeshua did a lot of that checking during Holy Week. He really looked at the laws of God, the laws of life. He double-checked everything. And based on his observation of these laws, he knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. Why would Peter deny him? Because Peter had to have second and third reinforcement. He knew Peter. He knew exactly what he would do. He knew exactly what would happen, but he had to double check everything by the laws of God and the will of God. Now, this is what we're going to learn to do in our course. But I should say one thing. I failed to double check one thing, and that was the calendar. I failed to realize that Mother's Day came right in the middle of our webinar. So I have changed the dates of our webinar to skip over Mother's Day. We still will start on the 27th of April. It'll be the 27th of April, and then the Sunday after that, we'll skip over Mother's Day, and then we'll complete on the 25th of May. So I've changed that online, and I'm letting you know now in our next mailing, I'll also change those dates so that everybody is reading on the same page. We're used to thinking of laws as something that are oppressive or you can't do or you have to do. Well, actually, the laws of nature, the laws of God are things you're already doing. And we can take them with joy, or we can take them with opposition. It's really up to us. Wouldn't you like to just take them with joy and work with them and know that, wow, the sun's coming up today. Oh, goody, I get to do this. Oh, this is terrific. God has assured me this will happen. this is going to be a very positive, oriented, joyful, practical. It's not going to be a course in quantum physics or that level of the laws of the universe, but actually all the laws work in all, that's what makes a law, is that it always works in all conditions, at all times, for all things, always. If you're a particle physicist, that law will work there. If you're a social worker, that law will work there. If you're the captain of a cheerleading team, that law will work there. If you're a teacher, the law will work there. If you're a doctor, the law will work there. If you're upside down in your life, you can turn your life right side up because the law will work there. See, when we start trying to learn these powers and abilities in life, and we don't know the laws on which they're founded, these powers let us down. Powers don't always work. That's the difference between, see, it was really wrong to talk about the law of attraction. It's not a law. It's a power. But it's founded on three laws of the universe. And you know what? Some of us are really better in one of those laws than another. When you know which law you can use, that power of attraction will work more appropriately and better for you. So, Yeshua asked me to insert some clarity, and he's been guiding me for 4 months, because this is how I got through this move. Intact, and with as much energy as I have, and looking forward to a really, really bright future of a whole new chapter in the work that we do. So now, I am going to really summarize. We're going to take as much time as we need today because this is important. And I also want you to know that every day the Blessing Givers will be offering a blessing themed upon the life of Christ and his process through the Holy Week. So take some time to be quiet during this week and just enjoy the blessings of the Holy Week. Now, Yeshua came into Jerusalem under an arch of palm branches, which were a sign of royalty. The palm leaf was laid for the donkey to walk over, and the palm leaves were arched over his head, almost like the military arching weapons, you know, as a general will pass under or another celebrated figure. This was the king coming to Jerusalem. Now, they expected a different kind of king, but he came, and he came on a donkey, and that's symbolically very important because he came the week before Passover. Now, you probably have noticed that all through the New Testament, whether it's in the words attributed to him or said about him during his life or the words spoken after his life, he was referred to as the Lamb of God. And why do you think he was called the Lamb? Well, this goes back to the whole beginning of Passover. There was a dark spirit sent over Egypt to threaten the Egyptian government if they would not release the Jews from bondage. And this dark spirit passed over and took the life of the son of the Pharaoh. It caused many plagues, and only those exempted from it were those who sacrificed the lamb and painted the blood of the lamb over their doorstep, over their threshold. Actually, I think it was over the door jamb, over the door itself. They stayed inside the home as the dark spirit passed over, and they were protected. And because of that, they were freed. In other words, the sacrifice of the lamb and the painting of the lamb over their life, the door, the threshold and the door portal, were symbols of the temple. In those days, the home was the temple. And the dark spirit passed over. No. As Yeshua moved into the holy city, he passed through the portal, cleansing the portal, clearing the dark spirits, and yet they were to pass over again. They were to come and judge him. He was to go through trial after trial in this week, which we'll talk about more next week on Easter. But the Lamb of God was the Lamb that had to be sacrificed. Many people want to avert their attention from the fact that he really was crucified physically, that he really was tortured and killed. Well, I want to say one thing to you that I hope you will hold as true, and that is that the power of Christ could not have endured through the ages around the world in all faith with the power it has had to transform this earth if there had been any lie at all in it. There was no falseness in his life. There was no shenanigan. There was no magic. There was no sleight of hand. There was no deception. There was nothing he averted for the sake of causing something to seem as it was not. There was nothing but truth that passed from his mouth or his life or his body or his teaching. As he entered the temple, if you read the events of Holy Week, he was a man who confronted everything. He did not withhold his feelings, even if they were angry. He let them out. He did not look away from the moneylenders in the marketplace, in the temple. He did not look away from anyone or anything. He embraced life. He looked at everything in Jerusalem. He looked at the condition. He looked at the Romans. He looked at the Sanhedrin. This was a week of confrontation, of observance, and of living through the truth, no matter what it resulted in. This was his week of destiny. Now, to use the parentheses again, we really believe that this was also his birthday week. Almost surely, the Lamb of God was born in the week of Passover. The Lamb of God was slaughtered in Passover. The Lamb of God was the perfect lamb. Not just any lamb could be slaughtered for Passover. It had to be an absolutely perfect lamb. And that is part of the symbol of his birth. And that's part of the choosing of the lamb in preparation of Passover. The lambs that would have been chosen for Passover had been selected at the time that Yeshua came into Jerusalem. These would have been the Paschal lambs, the lambs, the perfect lambs that had been chosen. We know there were lambs in the field at the time of his birth. We don't know all the details of was there or was there not a census. Did they go to Jerusalem because the Romans were collecting numbers and names, or was it an annual observance? We don't know all these details, and there's a lot of contradictory historical ideas about what really went on. But we do know one thing. If there was a huge congregation of people coming together at little towns like Bethlehem, which were nothing towns, they were nothing towns. They were like Lukenbach, Texas. you know, a mailbox and a general store and maybe one place where people could stay. That was Bethlehem. So what would have brought a whole congregation of people there where there was no place for anyone to stay at the inn? Passover. Because people returned to their hometown. You see, over a long period of time, a century or two, a lot of people would have been born in Bethlehem. And that could have actually called a lot of people there. So, that one thing, we really believe, those of us who have studied not only our faith, but the logistics of historical probability, pretty much confer that it was Passover. Just like she came to Bethlehem on a donkey. He came to Jerusalem on a donkey. More than likely, the lamb was chosen for Passover. The lamb was slaughtered for Passover. He had to be taken down from the cross before Passover began on Friday. We are in the week where the perfection of his life was tested in every way, on every level, on every day this week. And so I would like to ask you to join all of us, the blessing givers around the world this week. It doesn't matter what time of the day you join us. Just join us because we will be in a place of oneness of spirit where you will be touched by the blessing and the energy of Christ's blessing every day. Welcome. Welcome to his temple. Welcome to his time of perfection, of challenge, of conviction and transcendence at this holy season. With those thoughts, let us begin our blessing today. And I would like to ask those who are receiving the blessing to be seated, to have no arms or legs crossed, just to be in a relaxed and humble position, head just dropped slightly to be comfortable, legs relaxed, feet on the ground, arms relaxed, and your attention fallen away from the mind to be in the heart. I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and as soon as that invocation is completed, begin your prayers. Pray as you like to pray for whatever you need, wherever your heart is, for what you would like to seek in life, be it a miracle or a practical attainment. Whatever your desire or your need is, know that it will be honored in the connection of God, and it is our duty as blessing givers to accelerate that connection. It is our privilege to conduct the love of Christ, the energy of the Holy Spirit, and the blessings of God to all this earth, to you, to all of life, to all of mankind. Let there be peace on earth. Dear Yeshua, the beloved one we celebrate this day, as we raise banners above your head of palm leaves to your victory, your nobility, the Prince of God, the Prince of Peace, as we lay the palm leaves beneath the donkey, surrendering ourselves to our destiny as well as to yours, we thank you for all the love and the dedication you have given to us, to all of mankind, to this earth, for its transformation and all that may come from your life, from your sacrifice, and from your transcendence. Amen. The energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Be still, be quiet, be nurtured. Rest in the arms of God, in the love of Christ, and be made whole by the Holy Spirit. Amen.